Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Minoxidil Coated Metals and Industries Limited Q1 FY26 results conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sakshi Panjwani, and thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Minoxidil Coated Metals and Industries Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Karan Agarwal, Whole-time Director, Mr. Mahendra Bang, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Tushar Agarwal, Senior Vice President. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Karan Agarwal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good day, everyone. A very warm welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings call of Minoxidil Coated Metals and Industries Limited. On behalf of the entire management team, I would like to extend our sincere appreciation to all the investors, analysts, and stakeholders for taking the time to join us today. I'm pleased to be joined by Mr. Tushar Agarwal, our Senior VP, and Mr. Mahendra Bang, our CFO. It's a pleasure to connect with you as we embark on yet another promising year, continuing our journey of record-breaking growth, operational excellence, and long-term value creation. At Minoxidil Coated Metals, we are one of the leading manufacturers and exporters of premium coated steel products, offering both pre-painted steel and galvanized steel in coil and sheet forms. Our advanced manufacturing facility in Kutch, Gujarat, and a growing export footprint across 40-plus countries positions us as one of the trusted partners to industries ranging from building and construction, automotive, FMCG, and white goods. Our Q1 FY26 results are as follows. The consolidated total income witnessed a robust year-on-year growth of 29.97%, reaching rupees 253.94 crores. Driven by a strong demand and higher sales volume, profit before tax recorded an impressive surge of 364.43% year-on-year, amounting to rupees 18.70 crore, reflecting enhanced operational efficiency and margin expansion. Net profit also saw a significant rise of 369.70% year-on-year, standing at rupees 14.01 crore, underscoring our continued focus on delivering profitable growth. EBITDA increased by 93.36% year-on-year, reaching an impressive rupees 28.62 crore, with an EBITDA margin expansion of 370 basis points, which is now standing at 11.27% of revenue. Earnings per share improved by a drastic 253.86% year-on-year, reaching rupees 1.42 per share. In Q1 FY26, the standalone financial performance demonstrated solid momentum across all key metrics. Total income increased to rupees 253.89 crore, supported by sustained business momentum. EBITDA improved to rupees 28.62 crore, with the EBITDA margin expanding to 11.27%, reflecting better cost efficiencies and operating leverage. Net profit rose to rupees 14.10 crore, underscoring the strength of the company's core operations. Earnings per share, or EPS, also improved to rupees 1.43 per share, reaffirming the company's focus on driving consistent and sustainable standalone performance. At the end of FY25, our net debt to EBITDA ratio stood at 2.3x, and we are well on track to bring it down to 1.7x at the end of FY26. This target is backed by strong EBITDA performance, improved earnings visibility, and healthy cash flows. With continued focus on operational efficiency and prudent capital allocation, we remain confident in our ability to strengthen the balance sheet while driving sustainable growth. During Q1 FY26, the company delivered robust operational performance, marked by record capacity utilization and strong production growth. Galvanized steel coil production rose by 12.51% year-on-year, while pre-painted steel coil production surged 14.66% year-on-year, achieving full capacity utilization. Export momentum remained exceptional, with export volumes soaring 166.14% year-on-year, and export revenue climbing 182.28% year-on-year, contributing a record 57% of the total revenue. Overall sales volumes grew 18.69% year-on-year to 29,248 metric tons. This was supported by a peak capacity utilization level of 85% in the continuous galvanizing line and 100% in the color coating line. This performance underscores the company's operational efficiency, global competitiveness, and growing demand traction. We successfully raised a total equity of rupees 174.87 crore, out of which rupees 161.22 crore has been infused into the company. This raise was concluded in two strategic rounds of preferential warrants. This capital infusion marks a significant milestone in strengthening our financial foundation. The funds have been effectively deployed towards reducing existing debt and supporting our upcoming growth-oriented projects. This not only enhances our balance sheet, but also positions us strongly for the next phase of expansion and value creation. I would like to now invite Mr. Tushar Agrawal to speak about the industry scenario and our upcoming growth-centric projects. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. The Indian coated steel industry is experiencing strong growth driven by rising consumption, infrastructure expansion, and government support through initiatives like the 6,322 crore PLI scheme and the National Steel Policy. With per capita steel use expected to nearly double by 2030, demand for value-added steel products like pre-painted and aluminum zinc coated steel is set to rise. These trends align with our product portfolio and ongoing capacity expansions, positioning Manaxia Coated Metals and Industries Limited to capitalize on both domestic and export opportunities. Going ahead, we are actively advancing our strategic expansion and sustainability initiatives to strengthen our growth momentum. The upgradation of our existing galvanizing line to AluZinc technology with an enhanced capacity of 180,000 metric ton per annum is scheduled for completion by end of Q2 FY26. while the line is fully ready, we have consciously deferred the upgrade to prioritize execution of our strong and high margin export order book. Upon completion, we will be transitioning to a more premium product which has lesser competition, is sold at a premium, and is known in the market for its superior performance. We are also progressing with the setup of a 7-megawatt captive solar power plant within the state of Gujarat to meet the energy requirements of our Kutch facility. The EPC contractor has been finalized and the order placement underway. This will help us reduce grid dependency and enhance cost efficiency while reducing our per metric ton carbon footprint. Further, we have awarded contracts to suppliers of our second color coating line, which is expected to be commissioned in Q4 of FY26. This will significantly boost our color coating capacity to 235,000 metric ton, which is an increase of over 170%. This will be significantly improving our value-added product mix. These projects are aligned with our vision for sustainable, scalable, and high-margin growth. Before we open the floor for questions, I would like to take this opportunity to express my sincere gratitude to our dedicated team, valued customers, and esteemed shareholders for their continued trust and support in Manaxia Coated Metals and Industries Limited. We remain firmly committed to driving operational excellence and delivering long-term value. With that, I would now be happy to take any questions you may have. Thank you once again for your time and continued confidence in our journey.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aman Soni from Invest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, you are.
Firstly, congrats for your set of numbers. My first question is regarding the guidance. What is the revenue guidance for FY26 and what do you think OPM in upcoming quarters? Are these level of 10% sustainable?
Thank you for your question. I think pertaining to the guidance of revenue and profitability, we can confidently tell you that the performance achieved in Q1 is definitely something as a benchmark that we have set, which we expect to continue towards the remaining quarters of the financial year. And we would also see a considerable amount of positive momentum in the revenue and profitability from Q4 onwards also, when the new projects have their impact getting captured in the financial performance of the quarters. So I think the run rate of revenue and profitability is definitely sustainable and growth can be expected even beyond this.
Okay, sir. And my second question is regarding the CapEx. We are including the second line of color coating. What is the peak revenue that we can achieve and how first, do you think we can achieve the optimum of utilization?
The second color coating line is stated to come on stream live into production by the end of Q4 FY26. So I think FY27 will be the year where we will see the maximum revenue being incurred by the company by the upgrade of alu zinc as well as the addition of the second color coating line. On the basis of capacities being added by us in both these projects, we can see in an ideal scenario, best-case scenario, the peak revenue of the company touching close to rupees 1,600 crores with this capacity expansion in FY27.
Sir, what is the rationale for amalgamation with JP Snack? Do we have any plans of expansion here?
The rationale for amalgamation with JP Snack is very simple. This is a subsidiary which was created almost a decade back, more than a decade back, for a pilot project that the company had undertaken in the FMCG business. However, this subsidiary has been non-operational without any revenue since more than almost now 4 to 5 years. And hence, in order to simplify our balance sheet, P&L reporting, and all of the other activities that we as a company need to undertake as a listed entity, we felt it is beneficial to merge both the entities.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh Dhiwar from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. Congrats for the great set of numbers. So, sir, actually, I'm new to the company. So as we are expanding our capacity in two segments, pre-painted steel and galvanized steel. So let's say on the second phase of pre-painted steel, I think we mentioned we can go around 1,600 crore worth of top line. And what kind of revenue, peak revenue, can we generate on galvanized steel? And how much time it will take to work on optimal utilization of 180,000 MTPA capacity?
Prathamesh, thank you for your questions. I think the peak utilization with the color coating, second color coating line will happen only in FY27. And rupees 1,500-1,600 crore is the peak revenue in the ideal and the best-case scenario with maximum capacity utilization. For your second question is on the alu zinc upgrade with a capacity of 180,000 tons, it would take us about at least, let's say, one quarter to stabilize and ramp up capacity utilization. Therefore, the full output or the real enhancement in revenue from the alu zinc line would start to be visible, would be start to be visible from the end of Q3 or the early Q4 of the current financial year.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. And on consolidated level, how much EBITDA margin increase are we expecting once both the plant gets, both the capacity gets live?
That's a good question. I think the major EBITDA expansion that we are going to witness will be on account of the alu zinc project or the alu zinc technology upgrade that we are going to implement by the end of Q2. And going by the industry norms currently, with the price realizations that alu zinc is commanding and the production costs being incurred for production of alu zinc, we can safely say that an EBITDA expansion of 30% from the existing level is something that the company has the potential to realize.
30%. Okay. Got it, sir. Got it. And so just a last question. So we are also expanding in cold-rolled steel. So is this going to be like for the backward integration or like of 3 MTPA, 3 lakh MTPA?
Yes. So you are now talking about our phase three expansion plan, which will be, you know, put in the execution stage only by the mid of FY 2027, not right now. So currently, our focus is only to complete our phase one and phase two expansion plan, which is the AluZinc upgrade, the solar captive power plant, and the second color coating line. The cold rolling, you know, backward integration investment will happen subsequently after completion of all these plans by the end of FY 2027. That is the target.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for your future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Katrodia from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So the question was like, the export market is gaining traction with top panel contributing a healthy share in the export revenue. So how do you see the export market evolving going forward? Like, do we have an existing tie-up with customer like top panel or other customer will be there for the upcoming production, whatever we will generate? So what steps are we taking on the export market side, or what are we looking with the export market?
Thank you. I think it is very important to mention that we have witnessed a very big growth in our export performance, which has contributed to a great extent on the upliftment of our financial performance. In Q1 of FY 2026, we delivered a record-breaking 57% revenue from exports, which was an all-time high and which was three times higher than the export performance of Q1 FY 2025. Now, talking about the export market, I would like to tell you that this has not happened overnight, or this has not happened due to any spot opportunity. This is a result of, you know, hard work and continuous focus on developing a very critical and quality-conscious export customers in the European continent, which has taken place over the last 5 to 7 years. All the efforts of developing these customers by doing repeated trials, by gaining their confidence, and by delivering quality at a competitive price is now resulting in a growth of volumes for export market. And we see that this export revenue or this percentage of export revenue is sustainable for us because we are doing business with only OEMs and not with traders or stockists or service centers. So, you know, we have long-term customers and repeat customers every quarter and very few spot customers. So I am very confident that we can maintain consistency, and this kind of performance in the export side is sustainable. On the future scenario, we feel that there is a lot of potential and scope to grow our exports in terms of quantitative performance and also maintaining the percentage of exports at a similar level, even with a higher capacity, because the market is very large and we are still, you know, just scratching the surface in terms of the export potential. And our positioning, which is, you know, port-based, we are located in the western coast of the Indian subcontinent, and we have very good access and low-cost access to export movement of our finished product, which is a big advantage and a USP for us.
Got it. So like, are we talking with more export customers for the upcoming whatever production we will generate, like from the Q4 onwards or in between from the FY 2027? So are we tying up for these facilities also, or like whenever these facilities will come online, then we have to do the trial production with the customer and it will take time to ramp up? So how this will happen? Could you throw some light on this part?
So the good thing for us is that the existing customer base that we have in the export market and the domestic market, are already users of this new product which we are launching, which is AluZinc. AluZinc is used by all our existing customers in their existing supply chain to, and it's a vital part of their, you know, raw material product mix to produce their finished product in the building and construction industry or HVAC industry or, you know, the white goods industry, whatever it may be. So we do not have to reinvent the wheel and find new customers, but yes, we have to penetrate our existing customer base with the, you know, new product that we are launching, which we feel is not a very difficult task.
Got it. Also, thank you so much for the detailed answer. Like, I have a question on what is our realization per ton and EBITDA per ton of galvanized steel tube sheets, coils, and pre-painted steel and coils?
For Q1 of FY26, I can give you an, you know, a ballpark number. I don't have the precise number available with me. But the realization per ton for galvanized steel should be roughly around ₹75,000 per ton basis, you're excluding taxes. For pre-painted steel, the realization per ton should be close to between 88,000 to 90,000 rupees per ton, excluding taxes. And the EBITDA per, the blended EBITDA per ton that the company has earned is ₹9,786 per ton.
Could you provide the breakup? Like, I just want to know what is the breakup between, how much GI is making EBITDA per ton and pre-painted. So I require the breakup. Could you please give EBITDA breakup of these two?
We will definitely reach out to you, Neetji, with this breakup. And I request Mr. Mahinder Bang, our CFO, to prepare a note on this request and give a message to Mr. Neet. And I would also request Kirin Advisors to share the contact details of Mr. Neet Katrodia so that we can send him this information that he has requested.
So is it fair to assume like pre-painted will generate high margin, right? High EBITDA per ton?
Absolutely, absolutely. That is a very obvious conclusion and a very good conclusion that you have made. Pre-painted steel generates the higher portion of the EBITDA earning as compared to the galvanized, since it is higher value addition and it's the final leg of value addition in our process. So that is why also you will see that in the investor presentation we have shown, the product mix also constitutes of 75% of pre-painted steel sales. Only 25% sales revenue is generated from galvanized steel. So naturally the contribution of EBITDA, total EBITDA earnings from pre-painted steel is much higher than the contribution of galvanized steel.
I think the question asked by the person from Meet has got disconnected from the line. So we may take the next question. The next question is from the line of Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. First, congratulations on a great set of results. Hopefully, I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to, you know, ask, a lot of my questions have already been answered. I just wanted to ask a bit about the EBITDA margin. So we've seen a very significant jump. It's usually 7%, 8%, now it's near 10%. So just wanted to know what is attributable to, and I think sir mentioned a 30% jump in EBITDA. So that means that our 10% margin can be sustainable at 13%, or how do we see the margin, sir?
Yeah, hi Darshanji, thank you for your questions. Firstly, the EBITDA margin that we have achieved in Q1 is now 11.27%, not 10%. So, and yes, you are right that we have seen an quite an impressive increase, which is of almost 94% year-on-year. So to answer your question, I think, yes, the EBITDA margin expansion will happen with AluZinc and looking at the, you know, the product price that AluZinc commands and the lower cost of production that AluZinc incurs, we can safely say that EBITDA margins anywhere between 12 to 13% is possible and sustainable at a good capacity utilization. This is very much possible.
Oh, okay. The good capacity, maybe in Q4, 11 to 13% will happen once the AluZinc fires on all cylinders. So that's really helpful, sir. Just wanted to just clarify that our other income is what we are including in our market. So what all does our other income include? So I assume there will be some element of fundraise or something, or how does our third income work, sir?
So the other income component in the P&L is basically made up of two components. One is the forex gain loss that the company incurs on account of its foreign currency exposure hedging strategy. And the second is would be any interest earnings that the company would have incurred. But okay. I would like to point out that this forex gain is the major component of the other income part, which is a direct result of operational strategy made by the management of the company to manage forex risk. It is not a result of luck or any unforeseen windfall gain, but it is a mere result of a strategic hedging policy that we have, which we are executing and monitoring on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, that's really grateful, sir. Will we be able to quantify how forex gain was there in this quarter, sir?
The forex gain in this quarter is, our CFO, Mahinderji can clarify.
Yes, sir. The foreign exchange gain is 3.55 crores, sir.
Oh, 3.5 crores. That's really helpful, sir. And sir, just wanted to know in terms of like, because we are, we'll see, higher targeting. So will that impact our working capital cycle as you're also going more into export? So does that elongate our working capital cycle or, how will that impact our working capital as well as that and its subsequent effect on our debt?
Tarshil ji, your voice broke up completely. We could not understand.
Is this better, sir?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, so I was just saying that now as we are, going more and more into exports, does that stretch our working capital a bit?
Sorry to interrupt, Tarshil sir. Your voice is breaking again.
I'll join back in the queue. I'll try joining back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Cheda from Dark Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Sir, first of all, congratulations on the excellent quarter. I just wanted to ask, you elaborated on the margins going ahead after the expansion. I just wanted to ask for the current year, the EBITDA margin will be around the 11% for the next three quarters or for the full year, safe to assume? Hello.
Hardik ji, thank you for your question. I think it is safe to assume that we will be able to keep this, EBITDA margins consistent in this year, because the impact of the expansion projects and the technology upgrade will hit our P&L only from the later part of the financial year towards the end of Q3 or Q4. So it is safe to assume that this level of EBITDA will be maintained and we could be, lucky enough to have a impact of the higher EBITDA in Q4.
So basically for current year 11% and for next year 13% roughly is what we can assume based on your assessment. For current year, we can assume 11% EBITDA, and in Q4 and in Q1 of next year, since both of your expansions are coming on stream, so we can assume 12 to 13% EBITDA margin for next year. Is my assessment correct, sir?
This guidance would be absolutely correct.
Okay. And sir, my second question is with regards to export. Right now it is 57% of the total revenue. For the current year and for the next year, could you share in terms of percentage how much, since our most of the margin expansion has come from exports, so what will be the percentage of exports of our total revenue in terms of percentage for the current year and for the next year, what are you targeting?
Okay. So I think before answering that question, I would like to give you some background that this level of 57% export is a new record for us. We have earlier been exporting our product, but the export revenue, let's say in Q4 of FY25 was 40%. In the Q1 of FY25 was only 26%. So 57% is an all-time high. And yes, we see that we will be able to continue this kind of export performance. But on a conservative side, I would like to give you an answer by saying that we will be able to maintain 50% and above export revenue for the year. This is the kind of projection we have.
Great, sir. Great. Thank you. And in terms of EBITDA per ton, can we see upward, like right now we are doing 9786 blended. Can we see, for the quarter is already on, so I'm saying, can we see crossing 10,000 in the near term? Like in Q2, I mean, it has just started, so very simple. If you don't want to say in absolute terms, are the margins increasing further or are they stable at the current level? If you could just put it that way.
I think the steel market currently is flattish in the overall global context. It is neither increasing too sharply nor it is reducing too sharply. So we can expect a consistent level of performance in terms of EBITDA earnings per ton as per the level witnessed in Q1. Now, when I say consistent, there is always a tolerance of, let's say, 4-5% plus minus, meaning 9,700 can become 10,000 or it can become 9,500. This much tolerance will be there. But definitely nothing which is too sharp of a movement.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And once again, congratulations on the stellar performance. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sampath Nayak from Mavira. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on great set of numbers. So my first question is on the demand and supply scenario with respect to aluminium coating. So in the previous call, you said there are only 4 players doing this currently. So can you name them? And also commentary on the demand and supply scenario. Yes.
Okay. Sampaji, thank you for your question. The demand for aluminium in the domestic market remains very strong because this product is something that is a new technology and has been, made popular in the Indian market less than 10 years back. And the prominent players in this particular industry are JSW Steel by their subsidiary, which is producing called JSW Coated Steel Products, and Tata Steel with their JV company called Tata BlueScope. These are the two large players in this industry, and along with that, there are other secondary players such as APL Apollo and Jindal India. So I think this is pretty much the market space when it comes to aluminium production. And I think I am very confident that the demand of aluminium in the domestic market space will continue to see fantastic growth in double digits because the government and the private sector both are spending an immense amount of capital for building infrastructure, for building urban and rural infrastructure by way of airports, railways, metros, warehousing, has been put in focus by the government. Cold storages have been put in focus by the government, and there are many incentives and schemes by various states to attract investment, which is going to basically fuel this growth of coated steel products and value-added steel products for making factories and warehouses and construction sheds and landmark projects such as airports and stations and other government infrastructure.
Okay, thank you, sir. So my second question is on recently the Central Electricity Authority prepared a draft list, and alloying coating is a part of that list. So is there any communication from the government with respect to the players who are doing alloying coating?
I would like to just ask you, there was some background noise. You said the Central Electricity Authority has issued what?
They have prepared a draft list creating components that are currently being imported, and they want Indian companies to, you know, manufacture it. And alloying coating is also a part of it.
Well, Sampatji, we may not have the right comment on this at the moment, but we will definitely check on this and get back to you.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tej Patel from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible, sir?
Yes. You're audible, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sir, I'm new to the company. I just wanted to understand how much funds are yet to be received from the conversion of the warrants, which we issued two times, I think one in 24 and one in 25. And how much money are we yet to receive from that conversion?
So the two rounds of preferential warrants that were issued have been largely converted into equity shares. Only an amount which is approximately 13 crore rupees is pending to be received against the warrant conversion.
Okay.
Which should be received, in the coming three quarters.
Got it. And sir, how much capex are we expecting for this upcoming two phase of capex? That is, one is for the pre-coated and one is for the GI sheets. How much capex are we anticipating, and how much of it has we have already incurred, because ICCWIP is standing on our books, right? I just wanted to know what was our total capex, how much have been spent, and how much is yet to be spent.
See, the total capex that we are doing in all three projects that are coming on stream in FY26, which is the alloying technology upgrade, the captive solar power plant, and the second color coating line, the total capex would be roughly around, you can say, close to about 150 crore rupees.
Okay.
Right?
And how much is...
Out of this 150 crore rupees, we would have already incurred capex of roughly around 50 crores, approx. And the remaining would be done as and when the project advances in the course of next three quarters.
Okay, and how are we expecting it to be funded? All through debt?
No, not at all. I mean, we have raised an equity of about 175 crores approx in the last two rounds of preferential warrants issuance. And this equity would help us have a very balanced view on the financing of these projects, where there would be a healthy mix of the equity and debt both.
Any number to it, sir? I mean, how much cash do we have right now? How much are we planning to spend it for capex? So out of 100 crores, how much would be the debt portion approximately? I get it. I mean, that, you can give an approximation if possible, please.
I think you can assume average of close to 70% financing by debt and the balance by equity.
Got it. And sir, if you could give more clarity on this phase one, phase two, I think more than 2 lakh tons of color, pre-color coated is what we are expecting, right? So if you could explain in how much, in that 2,36,000, how much are you expecting to come live in Q3, how much in Q4, and ramping up, you said, would take about one quarter each, right? For, I mean, the new lines to come up. So if you could just help us break down how much is expected to come in Q3, how much in Q4?
Okay, so we have two product lines. One is the galvanized steel and the second is the pre-painted steel.
Yeah.
On the galvanized steel product line, we are upgrading the technology to AluZinc and enhancing the capacity to 180,000 tons. This is phase one. This will come on stream in Q3 of the current fiscal. And like I said, the capacity ramp up and stabilization would take close to between 60 to 90 days. On the second product line, which is the pre-painted steel, we have a current installed capacity of 86,000 tons, and we're adding a brand new line with an additional capacity of 150,000 tons, taking the total capacity to 236,000 tons, which will come on stream by the end of Q4 of FY26 and will take maximum about 60 days to become, you know, stable and fully commercially viable. So I hope this answers your question, or if you need any more details, you can let me know.
Yes, sir. Perfect. One more follow-up on this is, I just wanted to know what's our client contribution? I mean, who is our top customer and what percentage of revenue is it contributing right now?
So I think on this front, I can say that we don't have a big concentration in terms of customer-specific revenue. In terms of the revenue mix, you already have heard that 57% has come from export and the balance 43% from domestic. So it's like a 50-50 kind of a situation. And in this 50-50 situation also, the total exports are very well balanced amongst more than, you know, 35 to 40 customers in the European continent largely, and a little bit in the Middle Eastern market. In the domestic market also, which has contributed 43% of the revenue, there is a very well balance in the entire geography of the, you know, Indian market space, where we are selling our product right from Jammu Kashmir to Gujarat to Kerala to, you know, Madhya Pradesh, Andhra, Telangana, everywhere. So it's a very well balanced and, you know, spread out kind of a customer revenue mix, and there is no concentration with more than 5% from any customer.
Got it. So, sir, is it right to assume that by next year on our new capacity as well, we would reach about 60% of the utilization for our new capacity? I just wanted to know, is there enough demand that we will be able to, you know, reach 60% by next year, or do you anticipate more or less than the 60% is what I am understanding?
On the AluZinc line, definitely more than 60%, because we are already at a run rate of about 120,000 tons per annum before the capacity has been added. So I think on the AluZinc line, we can safely assume that within a period of 60 to 90 days of commissioning, we can easily touch 75 to 80% utilization. And on the color coating, on the second color coating line, I would like to say that, close to 70% utilization is a safe number or a conservative number that I can tell you we can reach after one quarter of successful commissioning.
Okay, so 70% is for the new capacity, right? You're not saying blended, right? It's for just the new capacity.
No, total capacity. Total capacity, we can reach utilization of 70% of the total capacity I'm talking about.
Got it. Got it. It's blended is what I understand. Got it. And sir, when you move from a aluminium line to an aluminium zinc line, I'm just trying to understand. So it just helps us in ability to do galvanization of two types, right? It's not a completely new product, right? It's just a separate two coating which we will able to do. I mean, so sales per ton would almost remain same after this upgradation also.
I think Tushar can explain you a little bit about the technology and what is the actual change in the technology, and you'd also answer the question on the revenue potential after that.
Yeah, yes, that okay. That would be great.
Yeah, hello. The traditional galvanized steel, traditionally steel has been protected from corrosion via the process of galvanizing, which is the coating of zinc on top of steel surface. So that's what we're doing right now, where we're coating 100% zinc on top of steel. And this has been the traditional method for over, I think, probably over 4 to 5 decades or probably longer. Aluzinc coated steel is a new product, a new technology, which was probably invented roughly 10 to 15 years ago only, and it's come into India barely 6 to 7 years ago. This product is different how? Because the coating is now replaced. The zinc coating is now replaced via with an alloy which consists of zinc and aluminium, where 55% of the coating alloy is composed of aluminium and the remaining is zinc. The process itself has various changes where you know, we needed to add a complete cleaning section, the annealing cycle needed to be enhanced for the metal. We had to add another pre-melt pot, which is critical for the coating, where the alloy is melt and the alloy is prepared. The cooling tower height needs to be increased. So various, I'm just giving you a snapshot, it was a large technical upgrade which had to be undertaken in our Kutch plant and to be completed. Yeah.
So, sir, does the application change, and because of that, maybe, you know, our realization improves? Is it something like that?
It is a superior product. There are fewer manufacturers in India offering this, and it provides over 3 times the corrosion resistance that a regular galvanized product would have. So, it commands a premium in the market. Automatically, especially with India's large coastline, you see a large potential of you know, the entire market adapting this product. For example, in Kerala, they all want only aluzinc because of the high saline atmosphere. The market demands a product which will last longer. So they pay a premium to purchase, invest in a product which lasts longer and help them have a warehouse or a building which lasts longer.
Got it. Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Sir. One more question. Why are we targeting export market? Just I want to understand, it's a more competition in the domestic market, therefore we are evaluating export market, or it is a reason we located on the western part of the India, so it is easy for us to export. What's your view on this?
Well, I think there are multiple reasons. One is definitely that export market fetches us a higher realization for our finished product. And, you know, we are able to make customized products for our, you know, various export customers sitting in the European market, for which they are relying on our company to supply the raw material, and they're paying a good premium for it, number one. Number two, I think sitting on the, you know, port, we are literally 50 kilometers away from the largest ports in the western coast of India. And we want to have a very balanced situation of our sales mix, where we must not rely on any particular market for a major quantity of our sales. That's why we want to keep it very balanced. So whenever there is any stress in the domestic market, we can always tilt towards export and vice versa. So this is the reason why we want to keep a very balanced, equation of export versus domestic.
Got it. Interesting. Sir, if you could just help us, I mean, I know you already answered this for one product. If you just help me understand who are our peers in terms of capacities or industries, if you could just help us name the peers in the color-coated segment, and of course the galvanized pipe one. And are those integrated players or are there players like smaller players like us also who are buying the CRC and then, doing this value addition?
Oh, absolutely. There are two categories of players producing the finished products, which is AluZinc or pre-painted AluZinc. One is the category of integrated players, wherein you have two names, JSW Steel and Tata Steel. So they have their subsidiary companies that are producing AluZinc and pre-painted AluZinc. Tata Steel has a subsidiary called Tata BlueScope, and JSW has a subsidiary called JSW Coated Steel Products. In the non-integrated space, there are two more players, which are buying raw material from integrated steel producers like JSW, Tata, ArcelorMittal, Steel Authority of India, or even Jindal Steel & Power, etc., and are then producing finished products by doing value addition. These players are the likes of APL Apollo or Jindal India, and obviously, we are also in the same market, Manaxia Coated Metals and Industries. Yes.
Sir, interesting. So quite surprising. There are almost like six, seven players only in India, right? I'm just trying to understand, if possible for you, is it possible for you to put a number to it? What's the demand in terms of tonnage for, let's say, a pre-painted coil or a galvanized coil? And are imports also, major portion of the overall market in India currently?
The demands of pre-painted steel, which consists of pre-painted galvanized and pre-painted AluZinc, today, in my view, I don't have the updated number, but definitely in the entire country, demand should be close to about between 3 to 3.5 million tons per annum currently. And I think, yes, imports were, let's say, it was a significant share of the contribution to the Indian demand being met. But now the government has taken very, very prudent policy measures where they have restricted the imports into India and restricted cheap dumping from countries like China by putting measures like safeguard duty. And hence, the domestic market has become more accessible to domestic producers. And the threat of cheap product entering in the country has minimized to a great extent.
Interesting. So what will be the duty percentage? 20-25%?
The customs duty, which has been already in place before the safeguard duty itself, was about 7.5%. And now the safeguard duty, which has been recently announced in the month of, I think, April, if I'm not wrong, April, May, is another on top of that, was 12%.
Got it. And sir, what would be the installed capacities of these six, seven players which you mentioned, the integrated as well as the guys buying CRCs, including us? So what would be the installed capacity right now?
I think, in my view, the installed capacity is at parity of the domestic demand number. But you must take into account that the demand is increasing in double digits in India due to the massive infrastructure creation and investment that is being done on the public side and the private side in the Indian market space. And we also have a very big export potential where us and many other producers in the country are also exporting to various markets in Europe, Africa, and Middle East and Latin America. There is definitely a good opportunity to invest more and to you know, create more capacities in the you know, Indian market to cater to domestic demand as well as export opportunities.
Got it. Got it, sir. And I get that point that, you know, since our capacity is low, we might not face enough competition. But just wanted to get your view on, you know, Chinese competition in the export. I mean, are we enough price competitive, or what's the scenario on, you know, countries right now which we are exporting? You said Europe, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Just wanted to get your view on in terms of competitiveness of our with China.
Yeah, no, it's a very important question. I think China is definitely the most vital and the largest producer of steel in the world. So it is always, you know, always relevant in any context. But today you must have been reading and seeing that all the countries in the world are resisting and creating barriers for Chinese products to enter their economies or their markets. That is being done by way of fiscal measures and non-fiscal measures, by way of tariffs or you know, quality restrictions, etc. And this is what we are seeing even in our existing markets of European countries as well as a few Latin American countries, where many countries and economies have restricted Chinese products by putting anti-dumping duties or, you know, quotas or, you know, quality standardization, so on and so forth, which is helping Indian producers a great extent to penetrate and grab market share and, you know, really implement that China plus one kind of a policy in favor of Indian exporting community.
Makes sense, sir. Thank you so much for that answer. Just last question, sir. I will just sum it up. So, sir, first, I mean, two questions in it. I'm really sorry. So what is our major end use sector today? Is it the cold chain sector? I mean, where our materials are currently going in? What is the end use sector? And second is for the third line, what is the plan in terms of, you know, funding, and how much funds are we planning for that third phase, which we are planning to do in FY27, because, you know, more sort of we would be planning on that stage, at least in this financial year, right? So just wanted to understanding on your end use segment sector, and what is the planning for funds for your third capex.
I think on the the third phase that you are talking about is a total capex of close to about 220 to 250 crore rupees, for which we still have some time to finalize the funding strategy and the funding mix of debt and equity. We wish to fund it as much as possible via internal accruals and the profits that the company is generating through the course of FY26 and partially FY27. And we wish to use as little debt as possible to fund that capex, since it's a large one. So clear and a crisp answer can be given to you in the later part of the year, when we are more clear on the performance of the company and the you know, the stabilization of all the current projects in hand. I think we would definitely like to answer this question a little later.
Got it. And sir, in terms of end use sector, I mean, who are your clients and what sector do they cater to?
End use sector, I think building and construction is one of the major end users for our product, where our product is used in industrial, commercial and residential construction. For the purpose of industrial sheds, warehouses, you know, mainly infra projects, which consists of airport buildings, railway stations, metro stations, you know, thermal power plants, etc., etc. Apart from this, our product is used in, you know, again, producing insulated sandwich panels, which in turn is used for the cold storage industry or the clean room industry,
pharma clean rooms, cold storages, refrigerated trucks, etc. This is a very large, let's say, consumer base of our finished products. Apart from these two, then I would rank value-added end uses such as metal sealing systems, which are used for, you know, building interiors or, you know, major projects, interior sealing systems, etc. And then I would rank general engineering, which includes, you know, things like your air handling units or, you know, solar equipment and many other engineering components like elevators and doors and windows, etc.
Got it. And the last question, after the CRC, I mean, I know it's a far-sighted question, but just wanted one understanding. After the CRC expansion in 27, you know, what margin expansion do we anticipate? I mean, a broad, you know, approximation or something like that, because it's a raw material for us, right? So I anticipate gross margins to improve significantly, right? So if you could just help us understand how much margins do we anticipate to increase because of this expansion?
I think the backward integration by way of producing our own cold rolled steel would definitely give us access to expand our margins by another 1.5 to 2% on the you know, the PBT level. This is possible and achievable once we achieve handsome capacity utilization.
Got it. And sir, in terms of ROICs, I'm just trying to understand with this two new capex which we are planning, and you know, considering the ramping up will take, let's say, 1 or 2 years, what payback are we looking on these new projects? 5-6 years? What's the number shall we keep in mind?
So I think on the projects that we have already in pipeline for FY26, we are looking at, you know, aggressive, you know, returns on the investments that we are doing, and we are targeting something on the lines of 4 years payback for these projects.
Okay.
The solar project is going to be faster because the savings against the cost of electricity is very, very high. So the payback for the solar project can be as early as 2.5 years. On the aluminum line and the second color coating line, we are definitely targeting aggressive, and you know, 3 to 4 years is the targeted payback.
And sir, for solar, how much out of the 150, how much was solar? Sorry, I missed that part.
I'm sorry?
Out of the 150 capex, overall capex which we planned, how much is for solar?
Solar will be anywhere between 30 to 35 crore rupees.
Okay, so 30 to 35 crore was just solar. And how much power saving? So, I mean, if you could say in terms of how much incremental EBITDA are we expecting from this power saving?
At the existing level of our power consumption, we are quite sure of saving anywhere in the range of 6 to 7 crore rupees per annum if you go by the number of existing power consumption and power cost. As and when our capacities increase, we will have to add additional solar capacity to keep that saving percentage consistent.
Got it. So right now, how much would be the power cost as a percentage of sales?
Power cost as a percentage of sales. I think, Mahenderji, can you work this out and tell the precise number?
Yeah.
To be worked out, I'll give you separate.
No problem. And sir, yeah. This is like really far-sighted. Just wanted to get your views. By the end of, let's say, I mean, what's an overall plan? Are we planning to become, you know, like a fully integrated player where we will be looking to, you know, add up HRC also maybe in the future? I'm just wanted to get a far-sighted view.
No, I think our medium-term vision is quite clear. We wish to keep adding value in our current business, which is the downstream or the value addition business on top of the upstream products, which is by adding capacities of value-added steel. I think in the medium term, we are not looking at, backward integrating into, steel production itself. But we definitely wish to become one of the leading and the, top players in the downstream product line of value-added steel, which is, let's say, not too CapEx heavy, and the payback periods are quite, it's a very reasonable kind of payback period. Whereas integrated steel producer is definitely something which is going to invite a huge amount of CapEx in thousands of crores, and the payback periods are also longer. So currently, given our size scale in the medium term, we are looking at becoming a player which is, in the top three players in the country for producing value-added downstream products with a targeted capacity of 500,000 tons.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Thank you so much, sir, for patiently answering all the questions. Although I have a few more questions on payback, I will just work out my math and get back to you. I mean, thank you so much, sir, for patiently answering all the questions. Thank you.
Most welcome.
Thank you so much for the detailed answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today, and I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sakshi Panjwani from Kirin Advisors for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of Manakshia Coated Metals and Industries Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference call. Thank you, Karan sir. Thank you, Tushar sir. And thank you, Mahendra sir. Good day.
Thank you very much. Good day.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.